if you could open your Bibles and turn to Psalms chapter 15, verse 1 through 5. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He who walks in blamelessness and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and who has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who leads his money without usury, and who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Who does these things will never be shaken.
Thanks, Sydney. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for being patient with us as we allow God to do something in this place. Aren't you glad that God does still move? He's still alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. We just have to recognize that sometimes. It takes a little time to do that sometimes. But one thing I want to say is not only thank you for being here, but thank you for your support. It's kind of crazy, but we were looking at the calendar this week, and it's been 1 year since we've taken over as pastors, and it has been a pleasure and an honor to serve you. So thank you so much for sticking it out with us and not disappearing once we took over. But we're concluding, ending a series we've been on for 5 weeks called Forgotten Virtues. And in our society, there are a lot of virtues that we grew up with, many of us that maybe are a little on the older side, grew up with some things that, like loyalty and purity, integrity, honor, and gratitude. These are things that we remember but have somehow been forgotten in our new culture that we live in today. And I believe as you and I take these virtues, apply them to our life, apply them to our children's lives, we can continue these virtues that have kind of been forgotten, maybe bring them back into a culture that has left them out for so long. And today, as we conclude this series, we're going to talk about integrity. I remember pulling up to the bank. I was 16, 17 years old, somewhere in that area. I had a job at Consumers Grocery Store in Springfield, and I had just gotten paid, so I was going to the bank to cash my check. And how many of you, when you pull out of the bank, the first thing you do is get the money out and make sure they gave you the right amount? Everybody with me on that? We all do it. Well, on this particular day, the amount was wrong. However, it was wrong in my favor. They had given me too much. And I'm sitting there counting this money, and then I had a decision to make. Nobody else was with me. Nobody else knew that she gave me too much money. And I'm sitting there going, I can drive away, happy with a little extra cash, or I can turn around and make her day better so that she's not cashing out her drawer at the end of the day and realizing she's off. And I sat there. I had a hard time deciding. But finally, I decided I needed to return the money. So I drove back through. She didn't know she had given me too much money. I had her recount it. I said, I think you gave me too much money. And sure enough, she had. She took the money back. She thanked me and was so pleased and grateful that I had done this. And honestly, we live in a world today that is shocked by integrity. They're shocked when people choose to do the right thing more than when they choose to do the wrong thing. Why is that? You can turn on the news. I remember very clearly when Tiger Woods, unfortunately, had this side life that nobody knew about, and the surprise and the shock in people's lives when they found out that the athlete, as good as he was as an athlete, you wanted to believe that he was that good of a person. We do this in everyone. We want to believe they're good people, until you find things out that are not real pleasing and that there is no integrity in them. You look at politicians, and that's all I have to say. You could, quite honestly, you can look at the church, and there's pastors, there's worship pastors, there's people in leadership in the church, evangelists. You've seen it on TV numerous times. when people come out living a life that they had hidden for so long. Think back once again to my young life, my child or my youth life. I was in a youth group in Springfield, my junior and senior year, and one of our youth sponsors, they were a couple, and I won't mention a name, but this couple was very involved in our youth group, and I had become very good friends with them. So much so that I would go, they lived back, they were from the Boot Hill area, and they would take me back to their parents' home, and we would ride four-wheelers together. We had become very close friends, even though there was a little distance in age between the two of us. And I remember when I first heard that he was not being faithful to his wife. Countless times I'd been to their apartment, had dinner with them, hung out with them, believing in who they were, looking up to the people as I knew them. And I remember the shock that came on my life when I heard that he was walking three doors down, just three doors down in the same apartment building, having an affair with another woman. That left a mark in my life. Integrity, it's a forgotten virtue. What does integrity mean? It's when your behavior matches your beliefs. Now, you have this on the back of the bulletin. If you don't have the bulletin, then you can make notes if you'd like. But integrity is when your behavior matches your beliefs. It's integrated lifestyle. Integrated integrity is when what you say lines up with what you do. It's when your private life matches your public life. It's what you do when no one else is looking. Your reputation is who people think you are. Integrity is who you really are. Now, Proverbs 11:3 says this, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." Duplicity. It's the decision. There's a right and there's a wrong. And it's very hard to decide between the two. It's trying to find out, do I take this or this road? Do I be honest or do I lie? Do I give the money back or do I keep it? Whatever it is, it reminds me of loyalty. When we talked about loyalty a few weeks ago, we said that disloyalty is born out of a divided heart. And integrity is in the same way. It's when we're divided between two decisions. And I believe this can be one of the hardest virtues to uphold because duplicity that we're talking about in the scripture can come in the smallest of forms. The simplest of things. Nobody has to know. This won't hurt anybody. Now, I want to be clear here. Integrity does not mean perfection. If we had to be perfect, how many of you know none of us would have integrity? We would all be without it. But everyone makes mistakes. Everyone slips. Everyone stumbles. Integrity means not compartmentalizing your life so that you don't appear one way to someone and a different way to someone else. It comes from the word integer, which means unit of one. Therefore, you are one person. You're not several people, depending on who you're with. You're one person. You're not a bunch of pieces of pie that you separate and divide between, depending on who you're with. You are the filling in the pie. How many of you ladies, I won't just say ladies, men make pies too. I'm not one of them, but how many of you ladies, when you're making a pie, you pull it out of the oven. Let's say it's a pecan pie because that's one of my favorites. You pull that out of the oven. You set it on the stove. Maybe you got some nice ice cream to go with it. It's 11:07. You're getting kind of hungry, I know. So just imagine a nice warm piece of pecan pie with vanilla ice cream sitting on the side. It's so hot it's melting the ice cream. Doesn't that sound good? But how many of you ladies ever put all that together and when you pulled out the pie, you set it on the stove, you start cutting piece after piece after piece, and the first piece you pull out is pecan pie, but the next piece is chocolate pie, and the next piece is lemon meringue pie, and the next piece, no. Whatever you put in and whatever you bake is what's coming out. And that's the way it is with integrity. Whatever's in our lives is what we should see on the outside. We're going to read a scripture that explains that in a moment. But integrity is not acting one way with your family and a different with friends. Not acting one way at work and a different at church. Now, does this mean I just act however I want? Well, I'm a mean person, so for me to have integrity, I'm just going to have to be mean to everybody. No. What did we say the definition was? Our behavior needs to match our beliefs. If you believe in this right here, then your behavior is going to match your beliefs. Not your personality, not what you want to do in certain things, not what you want to say. Your behavior matches your beliefs. Now, I like the story in 1 Samuel 12. We're not going to read it. We're just going to talk about it. I'll paraphrase. But at the end of Samuel's life, you can read it, 1 Samuel 12, if you ever want to go back and read that. It's a great story. He stood before his community and he said, "Have I lived a life of integrity? If I've wronged any of you, tell me what I did wrong and I will make it right. Have I did anything that was not right according to what I say and what I do?" And the community looked back at him and said, "No, you've done the right thing. You are a person of integrity." How nice that someone lived a life of integrity. Church, we can be just like Samuel. We can get to the end of our life and we can say, "Have I done everything right? Have I done everything I said I would do?" That is possible. Once again, we're not perfect. It's not that we're always going to get it right, but we have God. We have the Bible as our guide. We have God helping us. And in doing so, we can live a life of integrity. I think of yesterday. I did a funeral for Harold Walker. Last Sunday, Harold was sitting right back here with us. And we're going to miss him. A great man of God. And I can tell you, he was a man of integrity. He didn't say a lot. You want to hear something funny? For the chili cook-off that we had, we were Amy and Lance gave me a ride back from the funeral yesterday, from the memorial service, and Amy reminded me of this. For the chili cook-off, he did not want his name on his chili. He was afraid to, even if he won, he just didn't want his name called out. So he wanted to put it in under a different name so that he wouldn't have to be called if he won. He's that much flying under the radar. But he was a man of integrity. He loved God, he loved the church, and he wanted to do right. And he always did. As far as I know, I knew him as a man of integrity. Now, how do we get that? How do we do this? Well, I think the scripture that Sydney read this morning could not be any better to help us understand what integrity looks like. David asked the question to God in Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. He said, "Who can dwell in the sanctuary of the Lord?" In other words, who can live in your continual presence? And this is the answer that David got. Look back at it in verse 2. It says, "Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary?" And he said, "He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous." That's integrity. Let's go on. "He who speaks the truth from his heart." That's integrity. "He who has no slander on his tongue." That's integrity. "Who does this his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man?" That's integrity. "Who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord?" That's integrity. "Who keeps," listen to this one, "his oath even when it hurts." Now that's a hard one. If we're going to take a hit financially, we're willing to cut a few corners. If we're going to take a hit in our, what would you call it, our perception of who we are, then we're going to make sure that we don't look bad in a situation if it means throwing someone else under the bus. Even when it hurts, we keep an oath. And finally, "Who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent." That is integrity. And what does it say? Here's our promise. "He who does these things will never be shaken." I want us to look at a few benefits. I'm going to skip a few things and try to get through this. I want us to look at a few benefits that come with living a life of integrity. I don't have time to cover all of this, but let's get four of them. I think they're the four that you have. There's others. There's more to living a life of integrity. But number one, you can walk closely with God. David said it. Who can dwell in the sanctuary of God? And God's response was, "He who has integrity." You can enjoy an ongoing communion and fellowship with God. Now, if I think of it like this, if I impart let's talk about these virtues that we've been talking about, these five things we've been talking about the last 5 weeks. If I impart those into my children, and my children accept those, and they honor, and they are grateful, and they're loyal, and all of these things, when they do the things that I'm imparting onto them, then our intimacy as a family increases. Our fellowship increases because we're living in unity. We're living with one mind. We're living under the same values. Are you with me? However, if I told Connor and Tessa about these virtues and about these things, and I said, this is how the main household is going to live, and they said, Dad, you're crazy. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not going to live by those things. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm still going to love them. They're still going to be my children. But our intimacy, our unity in the home is going to be totally different. It's going to be different communion and fellowship with them because they're not living under the same values. It's the same with God. He is our Father. And the same is true with Him. When you live according to His values, you walk with Him. You enjoy His presence daily, moment by moment. Number two, you'll have a built-in guide. We just read this in Proverbs 11. It said that the integrity of the upright guides them. Therefore, when you get to those moments and you have two roads to take, a decision to make, you can go, well, this one's wrong and this one's right, and I have a guide to live by. And I can live upright. I can make the right decision knowing that I am going to live based on what this says. Once again, we have a guide. You'll have a constant peace in your heart. In other words, you can put your pillow on your head at night and you don't struggle to fall asleep wondering, am I going to get caught today? Am I going to get exposed? Is someone going to find out this life that I've been living? Have you ever, I want you to raise your hand if you've ever heard of anybody having trouble sleeping because they did the right thing. Has anybody ever thought, you know what, I've never cheated on my wife. I hope nobody finds out because I can't even sleep just thinking about it. Anybody ever had trouble getting to sleep at night going, you know, I said the truth. I spoke the truth and I hope nobody gets, you know, really mad at me and I hope I don't lose friends over it. No. There's a peace that comes with living with integrity. Number four, you gain, this is one of my, if you catch anything, catch this. If you live a life of integrity, you gain trust, you gain respect, you gain honor, and most importantly, you gain influence. You don't, I'll use Harold as an example. The dude, I told you, he loved to fly under the radar. He still had influence. He still had, people honored him. People respected him. People trusted him. Those are things that we in this world today need. We need to be able to trust other people. We need to be able to find someone to follow and hope that they're not going to destroy this relationship that we have based on a double life. But you can be that person to someone else. You can be a person of influence. We need businesses with business owners who have integrity. And I know some of you are business owners in this place. We need businesses with integrity. We need marriages who have integrity. And we have a church full of people that can make a difference. Do you believe that? Come on. We have a church full of people that can make a difference. As a church, we have a challenge to be people of integrity. That's why it's important. Because what's the opposite of integrity? Think about this. Non-Christians love to talk about us. And they say, those Christian people, they're nothing but a bunch of... Let's try it again. They're nothing but a bunch of... That's exactly right. That's the opposite of integrity. Nothing but a hypocrite. Can I be honest with you? We all are hypocrites at some point. Once again, I've already said it. None of us are perfect. None of us are going to get it right every single time. But can we not try? I said, can we not try? Can we do our part to follow Christ and to do what He's called us to do and live by this scripture that I just read in Psalm 15. If you just had that in front of you all the time, just saying, you know what? Yes, I need to tell the truth. Yes, I need to make sure I'm living upright. I need to make sure that I'm making good decisions. And in doing so, you're going to not be a hypocrite all the time. You're going to show people that we can be Christians and not be hypocrites. Now, the Greek word that translated as hypocrite, it literally means an actor. An actor. You know, we love Halloween, and it's not just for the candy. We like Halloween because we get to act like someone we're not. Isn't it fun to dress up? I remember a few years ago, I got a pick on it. Jeremy, who was it when you wore the like leather pants and you had the black wig? Who was that dude? Slash? Slash from what? Guns N' Roses. I remember Jeremy walking around. You don't ever want to see Jeremy in leather pants again. Let me just tell you that. I'm totally teasing. You can wear them tomorrow. I don't mind. I remember him walking around. He had the fro. He had the leather pants. I mean, he looked really good as Slash. It was hilarious. It's fun to dress up and be someone we're not. But integrity just means being who you are. Not someone else. Not, oh, I'm in front of this person. I need to be this way. Oh, I'm in front of the church. I need to be this way. Do you know Jesus was far harder on hypocrites than on prostitutes, adulterers, and people of all sorts of vile sins? Matthew 23:25 and following, Jesus looked at the hypocrites and he said this, "Woe to you." Now, if Jesus ever says woe to you, like, it's bad, okay? Something's gone wrong. He said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but the inside, they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean." I'm drinking coffee out of this morning. Do you really think I would have walked in and poured coffee in this without looking in it? Because I drink coffee in this every day. Sometimes it sits in my office for a few days. It could be growing mold and who knows what else in there. But am I just going to wash the outside and then pour my coffee? No. I got to make sure the inside is clean. It's the same with us. Let's make sure don't worry about what you're doing on the outside until you got the inside clean. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Am I connecting with you at all this morning? Okay. All right. I'm going to skip the rest of that verse and we're going to keep going. But they looked religious. They looked righteous on the outside. He even called them blind Pharisees. In other words, they didn't even see their own hypocrisy. All of this scripture I read for this reason. Integrity doesn't start from the outside in. It starts from the inside out. Let me ask you a question. What is your integrity worth? What is your integrity worth? Now you can say, it's worth a lot to me. That sounds good. But your actions actually tell what your integrity is worth. Let me give you an example. If you lie on a resume to get a better job, then your integrity is worth whatever that job is going to pay you. If you embezzle something from your work, let's just say it's a ream of paper so you can print at home. Okay? Then that's what your integrity is worth. If you're married, I'm going to pick on the ladies for a minute. I picked on Jeremy. Let me hit the ladies. And your finances are tight, so when you buy an outfit, you stick it in the closet for 2 months, and then when you put it out and put it on, pull it out and put it on, and your husband's like, "Is that a new outfit?" You're like, "No, I've had this for a few months." That's what your integrity is worth. I know there's some ladies in here. Maybe you're a student and you really want good grades. So you cheat on an exam. Then that's what your integrity is worth. There was a guy in the Old Testament. It's a really interesting story. His name was Job. And if you heard about Job, man, I challenge you to go read it. It will wear you out. It will wear you out just reading what he went through. But let me give you an idea. Satan was criticizing God, and he was God's people even, and saying, "You know they don't really love you. They're just faithful to you because you're good to them." And God said, "No, there are some who truly love me." And Satan's like, "Oh yeah, show me. Who is it?" So God said, "There's this one guy. He's full of integrity, and I promise you, he is faithful to me. His name is Job." And Satan said, "Give me a shot at him." And for some odd reason, God said, "Okay." So he goes at Job. And if you've read the story at all, Satan goes and strips Job of everything. His wife turns on him. His friends turn on him. His wife says, hey, why are you hanging on to your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die, you big loser? That's pretty much what it comes down to. Okay? My paraphrase. But his friends say, you know you've done something wrong. Look at all the bad that's happening to you. You must have done something wrong. You must not have integrity for all of these things to be happening. Now look at Job 27, verses 5 and 6. And he says this. He says, I will never admit you are in the right till I die. I will not deny my integrity. I will maintain my innocence and never let go of it. My conscience will not reproach me as long as I live. To Job, his integrity was worth everything. It was the most important thing to him. This is what his integrity was worth. And it's called the forgotten virtue of integrity today. That's what we're thinking about. That's what we're looking at. Can we look at Job's life and see that he had integrity? Knowing you will have peace. You can lay your head on the pillow. You will gain honor, trust, respect, and influence if you will live a life of integrity. I'm going to close with this scripture. And I want to invite our ushers to come forward. We're going to close this whole Forgotten Virtues series out with communion this morning. And because of the way we went on the first part of the service, I'm just going to invite you to come on up and start serving, and I'm going to finish this out. So try to hold tight to me while they're passing out the communion, and we'll wrap this thing up. But Proverbs 30, 7 and 8, and Angie, I want you to put verse 7 up first and just leave it there. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 and 8 says, two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Now, if you were writing this, two things I ask before I die, basically is what the Proverbs author is saying. What would your two things be? What would you be saying in this moment? God, there's two things I want before I die. I want to show you what this person wrote. Let's look at verse 8. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. That's one of the things. He's about to die, or maybe he's not. He's just saying, before I die, I want these two things in my life. And the first is to keep falsehood and lies far from me. Then he says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. He didn't care about being rich. Anybody ever said, God, don't provide for me for the rest of my life? No. We want to know that we are going to have enough every single day. And that's okay. But he was also saying, I don't want to go hungry. I just want to have enough for today. The two things he wanted was his integrity and just enough to get through today. That's all he cared about. Really what he was saying is, God, as long as I have you and I have my integrity, I have enough. Can we not learn from this proverb? Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Let's live a life of integrity. Living under the Lordship of Christ, our behaviors will begin by the power of the Holy Spirit to line up with our beliefs. If I could encourage you with anything this morning, it's live a life of integrity. Now, I know they're passing out communion, but will you bow your heads, and I want to lead us in prayer in this moment. God, you've already spoken to us through your worship. Thank you for being here. Thank you for moving in hearts and lives today. But Lord, as we've talked about an integrity today, God, I pray that you would move upon our hearts. Lord, that we wouldn't live a certain way at church and a certain way at home and a certain way at work. God, that we would be the same everywhere we go, every single day. That we would honor you with our integrity. That we'd draw others closer to you with our integrity. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, first of all, if you're in this place and you say, Chad, I need prayer. I need prayer to just live exactly like you're talking about. I'm not going to be perfect, but I can do my best to strive to be like Christ and to live a life of integrity. And if that's you in this place, I just want you to lift your hand. We're going to say a prayer together as we close. Anyone in this room? Yeah? Anybody else? Thank you. You don't have to keep your hands up. Anybody else? You just want to live a life of integrity. Anybody else? Thank you. You can put your hand down. I believe this is a prayer we all can pray together because we all need help. So let's just pray this together. Heavenly Father, here I am. Use me. Mold me. Make me into who you want me to be. I've lived a lie. I've led people down to misunderstand me, to think I'm someone I'm not. Help me not to do that. Help me to live a life of integrity. Help me to strive to be like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hopefully you've all been served at this point. Anybody not been served communion? As we close out this Forgotten Virtues series, I want us to take a few moments. And I promise you I'm closing this with this communion. But Luke 22:20 says, "Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" Today we're remembering the blood that Christ shed for not me. Yes, for me, but not just for me. It's for every single one of you in this place. There's no one in here that can say, "Well, he died for everybody else but me." He died for every single one of you. And as we look deep into ourselves, as we examine our attitudes, as we examine our hearts, we reflect on our own lives. I want you to think over the last few weeks about honor. Honor is given. Respect is earned. Remember that? Honor is something you give someone, not because they deserve it, not because they're honorable, but because you're honorable. Romans 12:10 said, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Purity. Because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, He's my Savior, so He saves me from my sins. Therefore, He's my Lord, and I live under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So purity to me is based on Jesus Christ. It's based on His standards, not mine. That was purity. Loyalty was all disloyalty is born out of a divided heart. True loyalty is proven, not proclaimed. It's lived out. Gratitude. We look at the things that we have and we're grateful for them. We use those things to honor God. We give back to Him because we're grateful. Integrity, when your behavior matches your beliefs. So I want you to bow your heads for just a moment, knowing that we've went over these things for the last 5 weeks, and allow God to speak into your life right now. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you if there's something that you need to change in this moment. Communion is a time of remembrance, but it's also a time of repentance. Heavenly Father, you see my heart today as well. Lord, anything that needs to change in my life, I give to you right now. And Lord, as we begin to take communion, God, we say thank you. That while we were yet sinners, Christ chose to die for us. It was you, God, showing your love. That's the reason you sent your Son, was to show each one of us your love. So, Father, as we take this communion today, we say thank you. It's the greatest response we can have is to say thank you for what you've done for each one of us. In Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and he had given thanks. He broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Thank you again, Father. Thank you for all that you've done in each one of us today. God, as we walk out of this place, may we live these virtues that have been forgotten. May we live placing the Bible as a standard for us, to give us the rules and the ways to live. God, they're not just rules. They're going to make our life better because we live by them. Help us to do that. Help us to lead, to be people of influence in our community, in our neighborhoods. Use each one of us, Father, to grow your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I know we went long. Thank you so much for being here today. We love you. If you need prayer, I invite you to come forward. We'd still love to pray with you. Have a good week.